Good morning. Today I will be reading Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy.
You may be seated. You know, we've been asked, my wife and I have been asked multiple times, is there anything that stands out to you after being at Sunset for a little over a year? And one of the things that really stands out to us is the phenomenal singing on Sundays during worship. And one of the things that I don't want to take place is I don't want to get so comfortable with that I take it for granted. And I want to challenge you that you don't get so comfortable with the worship and the singing on Sunday mornings that it becomes norm to you, because there's a lot of churches that would love to have this kind of singing every Sunday. Lee and I were in Oklahoma City last weekend for a big event they have called Affirming the Faith Conference, and the singing up there was really good. It was about the size they had, about the amount we have on Sunday morning here, and many people were talking about that was just phenomenal and that was great. And Lee and I looked at each other and said, that was like Sunday morning at Sunset. And we don't want to take that for granted. And I remind you just how blessed we are to have so many voices that worship together on Sunday mornings. Don't take for granted the worship. We are in a series called Behold Our God. And we have started looking at who God is, the character of God, his identity, so that we can get a better idea of what God is like. It's one of the things as a church, as the Sunset family, we want to honor God, love people, and share Jesus. And in this series, we're honoring God to figure out, who are you, Lord? What is it about you that makes you such a forgiving God and a just God and a jealous God? And today we're going to look at how God is a gracious God, and we're going to look at it from a little bit different story. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 20. I want you to turn over there. I'm going to narrate a part of this story, but we're going to read the end of it as we talk about God's graciousness. And I think if there was ever anyone that we could go, hey, tell us about God's graciousness, if you could get an inside story about God and his character, it would be from Jesus. We would want to know from Jesus, you tell us about God. And we're going to let Jesus do that this morning from Matthew 20 as he talks about God's graciousness. And we're going to look at a story that he tells. Now, the story this morning is going to be a story about kind of an unemployment line, a place where people go to get employees to come work for them during the day. It's a vineyard, but what we're going to look at for a second, I want to show you a picture of mine. This is a picture in my office. I don't know if you can tell, but the big, tall, slim guy is my grandfather. I never got to meet him. He passed before I was born, but I have several things of his in my office, and I've heard so many good things about what a wonderful Christian man that he was. This picture was taken in the early 1900s, somewhere around 1913 or a little bit later. And this is in San Juan, New Mexico, just as New Mexico had gone to becoming a state. And this is my grandfather in front of the unemployment office, along with some other men who have come for the day to work as day laborers. They're hoping someone will come by and offer them a job so they can work for the day. And I've always been amazed as I look at this picture that sits in my office at the characters and the faces and the clothes and the way that men dressed during those times. But the part that really just blows me away is that how we don't do that sort of thing anymore. Nobody goes and stands hoping somebody will come by for the day and offer them a job. But this was not uncommon in this day, in the early 1900s, during the Depression, nor was it uncommon in Jesus' day. In Matthew chapter 20, we read about a story where Jesus is telling this same story. There's a big group of men that have showed up early one morning hoping someone will hire them. And when you start down in chapter 20, verse 1, there's a landowner and he owns a vineyard and he's wanting some people to work in it. And so he goes to kind of an unemployment area, an office to where people are standing around. And he finds some men who are there. This is 6 o'clock in the morning. They've showed up early to get a job. And he says, come work in my vineyard and I will pay you a denarius. That would have been a day's wage for a day's labor. And they go, great, we wanted a job today. And they go work in his vineyard for the day. Well, the landowner or the vineyard owner also goes at 9 o'clock and there's some more guys that have showed up. And he says, has nobody hired y'all yet? And they go, no, we're looking for somebody to hire. He said, come work for me. I'll pay you what it's worth for you to come work for me. He goes back at 12. At 12 o'clock, Jesus says, the vineyard owner shows up. Another group of men. He says, hey, you guys come work in my vineyard for the day. I will pay you what you work for. And he goes back at 3 and then again at 5 o'clock. Every time he goes back, he finds men willing to work. And that group at 5 o'clock, there's only about an hour left of light to even work. But he tells them, if you'll come work for even an hour, I'll pay you what it's worth. They go work. So when you get to the end of the story, you're going, where is this going, Jesus? What are you trying to tell us about your Father and his graciousness? The vineyard owner, Jesus says, lines all of them up to pay them, starting at the men who worked the least amount first. And so he takes those guys that have only been there for an hour, it showed up at 5 o'clock, and he gives them a denarius. He pays them a full day's labor for an hour's work. And then the guys that show up at 3, and then at 12, and then at 9, and he gets down here to the guys who got there at 6 o'clock that morning, and he pays them, are you ready for this? A denarius, exactly what they agreed upon. And the men get a little frustrated. They're a little aggravated. They go, hey, this isn't really very fair. The guys that have only been working an hour got the same amount as we did. Why are they getting paid the same amount as us who have been here all day? And if you're like me, you're kind of in this same group going, yeah, that's kind of not fair. If I was there at 6, I'd be griping about them guys getting the same amount as me. But here's what Jesus says. If you'll notice with me, pick up the story and let's read together down in verse 13. Jesus says, the landowner answered them and said, I'm not being unfair with you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. And he says, if I want to give the one who was hired last the same as you, don't I have the right to do with my own money what I want? Or are you envious because I'm so gracious? So the point that what Jesus is going to tell about the story here is that what he doesn't want us to be is he doesn't want us to be those 6 o'clock guys. He didn't want us to be those people who show up and go, hey, I put in more work than them and I'm getting paid the same amount. You see, in the story that Jesus is telling here, the landowner, the vineyard owner, represents God. And you're the people who work in the kingdom. That you're the people that work in the vineyard. You've been called. If you're a believer of Jesus who has given your life to him and confessed him as Lord and been baptized, you work in the vineyard. You work in the kingdom. And whether you have been working there since 6 o'clock this morning, early in your life, or whether you got there later in life, you're all going to get a reward. And what Jesus wants us to understand, that it's not about who gets what, because it's all God's to give. You and I don't have a right to go, well, he deserves this and she deserves that. It's God's grace and he can give it to anybody who wants. So I want to share with you as we study this story, 5 lessons about God's graciousness that Jesus tells us right here in this story. That some of them are going to really make us feel good. Some of them are going to kick us in the teeth a little bit. But he wants you to understand this and he wants me to understand this when it comes to what God's graciousness looks like for those of us working in his kingdom. The first thing on the top of the list, and you can't miss this in the story, is that God is outrageously gracious. Not a little gracious, not somewhat gracious, that if you are in God's kingdom, if you're one of God's children, God has been and will be outrageously gracious to you. He has invited you into his kingdom to come be a part of it, to live, to work, to serve, to share, to worship, to commune. And guess what? At the end of all of it, you're going to get a phenomenal reward. God is absolutely, amazingly gracious. He has showed up with an offer that you're going to be so glad, because it's going to sound like it's too good to be true. You ever see those offers on Facebook or TV where you go, this is just too good to be true. This has got to be a scam. This is too good to be true. This offer of God's graciousness to us, to allow us to live and work and be a part of his kingdom, is an offer that is too good to be true, but it is true. He is outrageously gracious with us. And if we truly understood God's graciousness, we wouldn't be calculating ever the minimum required for us to give. We would be going, how much can I give? What can I do? How can I be a part of this kingdom and even work overtime? Because God has been so good to me. We all love a good deal, don't we? I don't know about you, the older I get, the more I'm proud of the fact that I got a good deal on that right there. Whether it's buying a vehicle or buying whatever it is, we all want a good deal. I got a call from my friend Jordan one time. Jordan is a guy that lives in Childress. He did handiwork, but he just calls me and says, hey, if you got time to come to my house, it'll be worth it. Well, I didn't know what that meant, but I thought if Jordan calls me and tells me to come over, I'll come over. So I drove across town. That sounds like a long ways. We're in Childress, Texas. It took 7 minutes to get there, okay? I drive across town, pull up to his house, and he's got laying in the back of his pickup bed about 50 briskets. And I said, where in the world did you get this? And he said, there was a semi that overturned on the highway outside of town, and I pulled over to help. He was fine. And he said, the briskets were going to be ruined. They're all going to be thrown away. If you can get some of these to a freezer quickly, you can have one. He said, I threw about this many in the back of my pickup. He said, I'm sharing the wealth. I said, oh, I'm blessed. I'm glad I drove to your house today. Well, about that time, my friend Paul pulls up, and Paul lives two blocks away from Jordan. He didn't drive near as far as I did. And Paul gets up and he grabs one, and Jordan had told him about it. And I looked over and looked at my brisket and looked at his brisket, and Paul's brisket was bigger than my brisket. Now, let me tell you what I didn't do, okay? Now, honestly, I didn't notice how big Paul's brisket was, but I didn't look over there and go, hey, I drove a lot further than Paul did. Why is my brisket smaller than Paul's brisket? I was getting a free brisket. This was a $70 brisket that I was going to get to have for just driving over and picking it up. I wasn't going to complain about anything. Does that make sense? Who's going to complain about his brisket's bigger than your brisket? That's the story that he's trying to tell us right here. Is that when you get to be a part of God's kingdom and you get to understand, I am blessed by God's graciousness, you don't look around going, they're getting more grace than I am. We don't do that, because we are outrageously blessed by God with all of this grace that he is giving us. Whether you've been in the kingdom a long time or a short time, the second thing you need to find out and figure out here is God's grace is not about what you've done. It's about what he's done. God's grace is not about, hey, I've been in the kingdom all this long. I've been working since I was 11 years old. You know, I was raised in the church, which it always sounds kind of funny because it sounds like you were, you know, you grew up on the front pew or something. And some of you may have. I don't know. But really, God's graciousness and God's reward is not about what you've done. It's everything about what he's done. It's the fact that he sent a son to die for our sins. And you and I need to be thankful for whatever it is that we're given. It's not one of those deals where you sit back and can complain. Lord, could you not have come up with a better offer for us? We're not going to complain. We're going to be thankful for everything that we've got. I baptized a man in his 80s one time. He had cancer. He was dying. He knew it. And he realized, man, I have messed up. And I went over. We got him baptized 2 days before he passed away. He said, I hate that I have waited this long. I said, well, that's not important. The fact is right now you're realizing what you need to do. 2 days later, he passed. A week later, I did his funeral. I told this story right here at his funeral. And I can guarantee you, I didn't stand up there going, hey, not really fair. He's only been here 2 weeks. I've been doing this all my life. I'm just simply thankful that I get to be a part of this kingdom. Be grateful for what you have. And some people will tell you, hey, life's not fair. Or that's not fair. I hear that all the time. And that's just not fair. Aren't you glad it's not? Aren't you glad life's not fair? Because if life was fair, you wouldn't get grace. You'd get justice. And you don't want that. You get grace because life isn't fair, because God's not fair. In fact, I'll just tell you right now, the only thing fair in life is comes in September right outside of town called the state fair or the county fair. That's the only fair that's around here that's fair. You can go eat a foot-long hot dog and a fried this and a fried that and ride some rides that are run by some really interesting-looking people. That's the fair. But the fair is not anything that deals with life, because that's not fair. Be glad that it's not. Focus on your own blessings instead of on comparing yourself with others. We tend to be people who compare, and comparison is a thief of our joy. When we start looking around going, yeah, but they've got this and they've got this. Can I just say, if you're in God's kingdom, you got everything. You are so blessed. Don't complain about how God chooses to bless others. That's not your place. You can't sit back. Don't sit back and go, well, God does this for this person, or God does this for this person, or why didn't I get this? No matter who you are, we're going to get to heaven someday, and there's not going to be anybody that's going to say, wow, I'm surprised you made it. And you're not going to look around going, I really didn't expect you to be here. You're just going to be glad you're here. And you're going to be glad everybody else is there. And you're not going to be worried about who got what. And when you get to the point that you realize what you receive from God, everything you receive from God, you don't deserve, then you'll be able to celebrate with others when they get grace for the things that they don't deserve either. Nobody's going to get cheated. Nobody's going to get cheated. You know, mine and your best that we bring to God. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 5 tells us is filthy rags. When you bring the very best you got, when you go, Lord, I'm going to show up. I've been a great Christian this week. I had messed up. I've done so many good things. You show up with God with your best righteousness. Isaiah says, it's just filthy rags compared to God. He's that much better. Does that make sense? That we just don't hold a candle to how good God is. And yet, he's not going to cheat you. He's going to be good to you. But we tend to think that it's about what we do and what we have. We try to compare, I've been so much better than this person has been. And we got to stop comparing. I have a couple of friends, they're twin boys. They're the Timmins boys is what we call them. And they're 100% boy, but they're not just 100% boys. They're 100% country boys. You don't get any more country than these two boys did. And these two boys, I mean, you ever see the Alaskan bush people? This is these boys, okay? These are as country. They're riding horses and wrestling cows when they were like four. And I remember one day I happened to be hanging out with them for a few minutes and they showed, I don't think either one of them had on shoes. And we were sitting on the front porch and I thought, how can I show these kids that I'm kind of country too, you know? What do I have that I could talk to them that they would be impressed with? And I reached in my pocket and I thought, oh, my pocket knife. That's got to impress 6-year-old boys, right? 6-year-old. So I pull out my pocket knife. I go everywhere with a pocket knife. And this one, I use them for everything. I mean, it looks like it's been well used. And I pull this out and I show them and I go, hey, boys, look at my pocket knife. Y'all seen one this sharp before? And they took it from me and they kind of did like this. And they said, yours is pretty sharp. But have you seen ours? And they pull, six-year-old boys, they pull out their pocket knife and they go, they open theirs up, and I felt theirs, and they said, we sharpened ours this morning. When did you sharpen yours? I said, not this morning. They said, ours has got three blades. Yours only has one blade. I think three is better. I said, I think maybe it is too now. And then they look at me, and they kind of looking at my knife, and they go, well, what do you use your knife for? We use our knife for killing snakes and cutting the horns off of goats and stuff like that. What do you use your knife for? And I said, I'm thinking, they're looking at me like I've got to have this really good story. I said, I pull weeds out of my front yard. And they turned their nose up and they said, weeds? What would you use a knife for that for? And they look at me and they said, literally one of them looks at me and goes, you don't have a very good knife, do you? And I said, apparently not. Here I was trying to compare something I had with a couple of boys that both had their own knives at 6 years old. And I'm over here going, look what I got. And they're going, yeah, but look at what we've got. When we show up with God with all our goodness and we're trying to go, Lord, but look what all I've been working for you for all of these years. Isaiah goes, it's just filthy rags. It doesn't even compare. Don't even bring it to a comparison with what God's got. You and I are simply blessed because of what he's done, not because what you've done. Look at the third point in our that we're learning from Jesus. The main reward comes at the end. This is a big thing. Now, God may bless you on this earth. I believe that he does. He blesses you in a lot of ways. You may be looking around going, well, he hasn't blessed me as much as he blesses somebody else. Stop doing that, all right? But he blesses you. If you're a child of God, you have so many blessings you don't realize. You have a spirit, his spirit that works in you and in your life. You have got, I go to bed at nighttime guilt-free. I don't ever lay in bed at night going, I hope the police don't find out and catch me tonight. I haven't done anything. I'm so glad that I don't have all this anxiety over stuff that hasn't ever happened, that won't ever happen. There's just so many ways God blesses me here on this earth, but he also blesses me in the one to come. That's the one that matters, and that's important that we finish strong, that we get there finishing strong, that we're running all out at the end and we're taking everybody that we can with us. And here's these people who worked all day long in the hot sun, and they're going, oh, it was so tough, Lord. The imperative is they finished, and they got what they worked for. And I think some of us, it would do us really good if we would understand that our reward comes at the end. We're never going to get to heaven and go, you're never going to get to heaven and go, I really expected it to be a lot more. You'll never get up there and look around and go, wow, that's not as much as I thought it would be. Can I just say this? You cannot over-exaggerate how amazing heaven is going to be. You could come up with all the awesomes and the amazings and the greats and the incredibles and everything else, and you're not even going to touch how incredible heaven's going to be. You're never going to walk into God's future place someday and go, I thought it would be more. You're not going to go, hey, but I've been working since 6 this morning in the sun. You're just going to be so glad that you're there. And you're going to be so thankful that you're there. It's going to be incredible. Number 4 on your list. It's God's grace. Can I remind you that he can give it to anybody he wants? That's what Jesus is trying to point out here. That's what Luke read a while ago when he had read Romans chapter 9. It's God's grace. He can give it to you. God says, I will have mercy on whom I want to have mercy on. I'll have compassion on who I want to have compassion on. Therefore, it's my grace, it's my mercy, and I'll do with it what I want. Romans chapter 9, verse 16, 17, and 18 says. And some Christians believe, hey, God's grace covers me, but I just don't know about all these other folks out there. It's God's grace, and he can do with it what he wants. I'm always amazed by the thief on the cross. We've spent way too much time talking about his salvation and whether or not he was baptized when that really wasn't a point. What you don't think about was here was a guy that showed up at 5 o'clock to work in the vineyard, or maybe actually 5:58, when he just at the last moments calls out to the Lord, if you're really who you say you are, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus goes, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now I want you to think for a second. That guy is going to be in the same place hanging out with the likes of Peter and Paul and James and John, who spent their whole life, including giving their life, for Jesus. It's called grace. And I can promise you, Paul's not going to go, what's he doing here? It's God's grace, and he can give it to anyone he wants. No one is going to get cheated. Whether you've been a Christian for 70 years or you've been a Christian for the last 70 days. I need to throw this last point in here because it's really important that you get this. Procrastination is not the moral of the story. In fact, if somebody's sitting there thinking to themselves, well, this just means I can hang out till the end of my life, and then, you know, when I'm 3 days of dying before cancer, give the Lord my life. If that's your attitude, then you don't understand God's grace. It's not about how long you can wait. It's about how quick can you get in. I've never met a person ever that has been toward the end of their life, one of those 5 o'clock guys that shows up in God's kingdom that has ever not said, I wish I'd have done this a long time ago. It's not about waiting. It's about how quickly you can get in. Nobody has promised you another day, another hour, another chance, another invitation song. Nobody has promised you that. And it's not too late to join God's workforce. Whether you're 16, 26, 36, or 66. And I've done way too many funerals for people who weren't expecting to die. And those are my least favorite. Procrastination is not the moral of the story. Not the moral of the story. In reality, God gave us all that. If God gave this all that we deserved, we would be in big trouble. Instead, God gives us grace, and I'm thankful for that. Look at the conclusion for a second. Here's what do I respond? What do I do with this? What do I leave here with? Well, here's what you leave with. Number one, if you're working in God's kingdom right now, whether you've been here since you were 11 years old at 6 o'clock or whether you've been here for the last 5 days, you should be thankful for your Father who is so gracious. And at some point today, whether it's the invitation song or a prayer, you should be praying, Lord, I don't even deserve to be working in here, and I am so thankful that I am. The second thing is you need to stop worrying about who's God's blessed this. It's God's grace. He can do anything he wants to with it. My job is not to worry about, hey, are they getting more than me? What about what I deserved? Jesus says that very clearly. And then thirdly, if you have never signed up, if you have never responded to God's gracious invitation to come be a part of his kingdom, to work in his vineyard, don't wait. Don't wait. Get in as soon as you can, whether you are 16 or 66. I remember my friend Bob. Bob was 92 years old. And he walked the aisle, come walking right down. And I remember at 92, I remember his confession. He said, I shouldn't have waited this long. I'd never baptized a 92-year-old man before. point was, he was just glad he did it. And he said the same thing I said earlier. He said, I wish I'd have done this a long time ago. God is outrageously gracious. Bask in his graciousness. Be thankful for his graciousness. But don't judge God's graciousness on what you think you should get or somebody else should get. God is gracious. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you need to respond this morning, prayers for something that's going on in your life, maybe you just need to respond where you stand this morning and give God thanks for his graciousness. If you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and given him your life and been baptized with him in the waters of baptism, great day to do that. If you want more information, we'd be happy to visit with you. If you have a need, would you come as we stand and sing this morning?